really set the bar really high on this one. I was talking to someone this week, and I was just saying, you know, Pastor Dave has really set the bar high. I haven't been this nervous to preach a sermon in a while. So don't worry, I'm not too nervous anymore. I worked through it, but I got over my insecurities. But anyways, I've just been so blessed just to hear just what it means to call God our Father. And if you want to put the Lord's Prayer up there, we're not going to read it, but it's what it means to call the Lord our Father, and just that we have this amazing relationship with our Daddy. And when we come to God in prayer, it's not like we're coming to we are coming to the Creator of the universe, but for some amazing reason, we get to come and call Him Daddy. And then talking about God's kingdom come and how that needs to be the prayer of our lives, that God would set up His kingdom and reign in our lives and in the lives of people all around the world. And this morning, we're talking about our daily bread. And verse 11 of Matthew 6, that's where that's from. In verse 11, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And when Pastor Dave assigned that verse to me, the first thing that went through my head is like, okay, this is going to be a challenge. You know, you look at that verse and the first thing I thought of is, pray that God will provide for you. Sermon over. Go home. But as I began to study and I began to really sit down and really ask myself, what does it mean to pray for our daily bread? What does it mean when we come to our Daddy and we say, give us this day our daily bread? And I found out that there was a lot of content, a lot more than I'm going to be able to share with you this morning. But if there's anyone who understands the concept of asking for daily bread, it's my son Caleb. Caleb is 19 months old, and he's decided that the terrible twos need to come a little bit early. The sweet act that he puts on for you when he comes here is not the same child. He is at home. Mel and I found out a few months ago that when he wanted something, he decided the best way to do that was to scream and to cry and to bang things and to throw food across the table. And so Mel and I were like, well, we don't really want to live with this for the rest of our lives. We don't want to be taking spaghetti out of our faces for the rest of our lives. We've got to come up with something, a more pleasant alternative. So we taught Caleb how to say please. And I don't know if you have seen Caleb do this, but it is the cutest thing ever. He's almost impossible to say no to. He comes up to you, and he puts out his little hands like this, and he gives you the Bambi eyes. You know what the Bambi eyes are, right? Just like, please. And he gives you the Bambi eyes, and he goes, please, please. It's almost impossible to say no to him. A case in point is the other morning, I was up, and I was up early, way earlier than any human should be up. I have children, and like Pastor Dave, I have to get up early if I want to actually pray in the morning, and I have no shame in locking Caleb in his room and leaving him there until I'm done praying. Don't worry, I'm not a horrible parent. He reads books and talks to his teddy until I come and let him out. So I'm doing my devotions at the kitchen table, and Caleb is talking, and I can hear him, and I finish, so I walk down to his room, and I open the door, and he's like really groggy. His eyes are like half open, but he gives me like the biggest smile ever, and his hair is just like the craziest bedhead you've ever seen. It looked like someone rubbed a balloon on it. And for Caleb, getting out of bed in the morning is a little bit of a production. And so I just opened the door, said good morning, and walked away, because for Caleb, getting up in the morning usually needs his teddy, which is this huge white bear that's like twice the size that he is, at least. And a couple blankets and a book is usually what he needs to start the day. And so instead of helping him carry all this stuff, I was just like, see you later. Good luck with that. And so I go back to the table, have my breakfast or whatever, and I hear behind me this little pitter-pattering of little feet. And Caleb comes out, he's in his tractor onesie, crazy bedhead, squinting, and he looks at me, and he looks over at the kitchen, pitter-patters over, peas? No problem asking for daily bread whatsoever right there. And so like a good father, I gave him some toast. And The other morning too, this isn't in my sermon, but the other morning he's been having cereal. I was letting him run around outside and like in the kitchen area, and it was a morning, and I was like, I gotta lay down for 5 minutes. He probably isn't gonna die in 5 minutes, so I go lay down, and I hear Russell, 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 Russell. And he comes running. He's got the bag of cereal in his hand. And he comes running to me because he wants it. Please. So, anyways, he knows how to ask. See, Caleb has no problem whatsoever asking for food. And why is that? He has no problem because he knows that his daddy cares for him. And he knows that all good things, in this case, that would be animal crackers and toast, come from daddy. And much like Caleb, we need to remember who we are asking for our daily bread. Who is this prayer addressed to? Our Father. See, we're not praying to some cosmic life force or begging an impersonal being to recognize our existence as measly little ants. We're coming to our daddy. You know, if you look at that prayer and you just go, Our Father in heaven, and then you jump down to give us this day our daily bread, we're asking our daddy for our food. We're asking our daddy for our provision. And that changes everything. See, there's an intimate relationship between a father and a son. A father cares for his children. If Caleb asks me for bread, I'm not going to give him a rock. If he asks me for a cookie, I'm not going to give him poisonous reptiles to play with. I might give him a vegetable, and he might not like it, but if I do, it'll only be because it's good for him. But honestly, Mel's the one who gives the vegetables in the family. I just give him cookies. Just like, here you go. Have fun. Father doesn't always give you what you want, but he always gives you what you need. If you have your Bibles with you, if you can open them up to Matthew 6, we're going to be looking a couple verses down from the Lord's Prayer. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus continues to teach, and he talks to us about not being anxious. And starting in verse 25 of chapter 6 in Matthew, Jesus says this. He says, Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they are? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into heaven, into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And I have a saying that sums this up real good. In the Joseph Sterling Bible, the JSB translation, Jesus says this. He says, Relax in the Lord. Relax in the Lord. Don't be anxious. Worrying's not going to do anything. When we come and we're asking for provision, when we're trusting in God to pay the bills, or we're trusting in God to look after us, we're coming to our daddy. And your daddy will always give you what it is that you need. So when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, it's a prayer to our daddy. That's who we're praying it to. But it's also a prayer for provision. When we're praying, give us this day our daily bread, we're praying for provision. We're praying for God to intercede in our lives. And when we look at the Lord's Prayer in the light of what N.T. Wright calls the New Exodus perspective, the perspective that Pastor Dave has been talking about throughout this series of this prayer being a prayer of the people of the New Exodus, when we look at it that way, the petition for daily bread takes on such a deeper meaning than just simple provision. See, much like the New Testament, its meaning is rooted in the Old Testament. And in this case, its significance is found in the wilderness journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. You know, we all know the story of God delivering the children of Israel out of Egypt. And you know, God does all these amazing miracles, does all these signs, the 10 plagues, and he brings Israel through the Red Sea on dry ground. And just this amazing imagery of us walking from death into life. And then Israel starts their journey to the promised land, to their home. But in the meantime, they're on a journey. They're not home yet. And it's the same with us. We're on a journey. We're not home yet. This isn't our home. Our home is heaven. And just like them, we need provision during this time. We need to rely on God. In Exodus 16, there's the story of bread from heaven. They get into the wilderness of sin, and the people immediately start grumbling. It's like they've forgotten everything that God has ever done to them. And they're saying, Moses, what on earth are you thinking? You should have just left us in Egypt. We're just going to starve to death out here. Way to go. You really messed things up. And so Moses goes and he prays to God, and God says, don't panic. I got this handled. Relax in the Lord. And God sends bread from heaven. He sends manna. And the crazy thing about sending manna to heaven that they could eat is that no matter how much they took, for it would only last for a day. A couple of them tried to hoard it, and it got stinky, and worms were inside of it, and it got really gross. But God gave them what they needed for the day. See, we're not in the promised land yet, but we're on a journey towards it. And in this life, we're going to face difficulties. We're going to face times where we question God's goodness and question whether he's really going to provide for us. But he will always provide for us. And in studying for this, I was thinking about it. And if we're on a spiritual exodus, an exodus to our home in heaven, an exodus from death to life, it only makes sense that this daily bread is both symbolic of not only physical provision and like physical bread and all that entails, but it's also the bread of God's presence. It's the bread of getting what we need from him to make it through the day, to be his people, to stand out. The Bible talks about constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit and just that needing God's presence in our day-to-day lives. We need a constant communion with our Father. See, the other very significant truth about our daily bread is it's supposed to be our daily bread. It's not supposed to be our monthly bread or our yearly bread or our quarterly bread or whatever. It's our daily bread. Sometimes we come to God and we're like, hey, God, you know, just set me up for the next 20 years. I'll talk to you then. But we forget that we're children of God and not adults of God. When Caleb comes to the kitchen and he goes, peas, I don't say, okay, I go to the fridge, empty the fridge on the floor and say, see you in a week, kid. No, I give him what he needs for that moment. And there's an incredible wisdom of God just giving us what we need for the moment. It's not just because he wants to spend time with us and he wants that relationship with us, but it's because we actually need him a lot more than we think we do. See, Caleb's a big boy. He thinks that he can take on the world himself. When he is eating, we cannot take the fork and put it to his mouth. He will not eat. He will put on the biggest fight and fuss in the world. But if you give him the fork, he's like, yes, thank you, I have this. I'm a big boy. And the food will get all over his face and behind his ears and everywhere. And I quite often wonder if that's the way it is with us. And God, we're like, no, God, I got this. I can provide. I can do this. Don't worry about it. I've got this covered. And we think that we're fully capable of doing this ourselves, but we don't realize how much we actually need God. We don't realize that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father, as James reminds us. You see, James tells us in James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow due to change. And by the way, I just thought it was worth mentioning with Pastor Dave's comment about Tim Hortons and Starbucks last week, that I was working on my sermon in Starbucks, and I just can zone in better there. And when I was finished, the barista gave me a free coffee. And I was thinking about that verse, every good and perfect gift comes from God. I think if Jesus was here, he would drink Starbucks. So I'm just saying. It's open to interpretation. You see, the very fact that we are asked for our daily bread, for our daily provision, means that we are completely reliant on God for provision. Whether or not we realize it or not, we are. It's a reminder to us that we are. But it also means that we're in this new Exodus, that we're on a journey to the true promised land. It's a reminder to not camp and become comfortable. Israel wanted to camp and become comfortable, and so they got what they wanted, and they were in the wilderness for 40 years. You see, the prayer for daily bread is not just a prayer to our Father. It's not just a prayer for provision, but it's also a prayer for simplicity. And this is where it flies into the face of what I like. I really, really like guitar pedals, as some of you know. I've got a lot of guitar pedals, but you can never have enough guitar pedals. I want more guitar pedals. I have a beautiful reverb pedal. It sounds really great. If you're not a musician, don't worry if you don't know what that means. That's okay. And instead of being satisfied, all it did was leave me with wanting a sustain pedal, you know? And maybe it's not guitar pedals for you, but every one of us has something material that hangs on to us, something that we convince ourselves that we need, that we can't live without. Like when I really want a guitar pedal, I get tunnel vision. That's all I think about. That's all I dream about. I'm crunching numbers, trying to like figure out, okay, how on earth can we afford this guitar pedal and still eat? And sometimes we get really focused on trying to build our kingdom here on earth instead of building God's kingdom here on earth. Right in the middle of Jesus' talk about relaxing in him, he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See, we can get comfortable building our own kingdoms here on this earth. And what happened when the Israelites got greedy? The food turned to worms. When they tried to stockpile and to save it, it rotted.